We're here to kind of like lean into the things that Jesus calls us to and the practices that he invites us into. So it's good to be together, to sing together, to remind one another of the goodness of God. And what we're going to do this morning is a little bit different. As you can see, the chairs are even set up different. You never know what you're going to walk into when you come into Edgewater, and that's how we like to keep it. We keep it fresh, and we keep it real. And I like it like this just because I like people, and sometimes when it's too straight, it feels too much like school for me. And I want to be with you, not talking at you. I want to be with you and enjoying you. And that's part of my heart as your pastor, is just I want to enjoy the relationships that we have. Are you going to faint, woman? Are you okay? You're like going with the fan? Am I that good? Yes, but it is good. It is good to be here. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to cover a little bit. We're going to give you kind of a financial update of what's been going on with the church. As many of you know, there's lots of things that have been spinning out there, and lots of things. And I know that a lot of you already kind of know what's going on. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk about it, and we're going to be open, and we're going to see where this takes us. Okay, all right. Put your seatbelts on. It's going to be a good ride. So I'm going to call up Ezra, the good Ezra Engel, who's the head of our leadership team, and you're going to take it, and Cecilia too. Both of them are coming up. Here we go. Ezra and Cecilia are part of our leadership team that handle a lot of the systems and the inner workings of the church and have been doing so much to care for the bigger picture going on here. So I'm turning it over to them, and then I'll be back. All right? Good.
Thank you. So as you know, we've been doing quarterly updates of our finances. We do it after church. So bear with us if you're new here. If you've been here, you know that we've had to implement what we call an emergency budget because we were in a difficult time. And so I was thinking if I was in membership, I would want to know how to get here, how this all happened. So I want to give you as quick as I can a lot of information about where we are. And then after that, I'm going to pass the mic to Cecilia to give you where we are here today and how the second quarter ended.
So, but before I do that, I want to just pray because it's kind of an anxious thing to talk about. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've given us as a community, mostly that you've given us yourself, your son. You've given us the ultimate sacrifice, and you've shown us love. And I see that love between us, and I thank you for that. And just keep blessing as you do, and guide us as we make steps to grow in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my notes are on my phone. There we go. So, if we rewind to 2014, we had a transitional pastor that was working part-time, and we had $55,000 in savings to kind of weather ups and downs. Then we hired, and we offered almost $20,000 more than we've ever offered any staff member. But with a lot of excitement, nonetheless. And early in 2015, we realized that our expenses had dramatically risen, and giving had slightly declined. And so we had to choose to close our office that we were leasing, where we've had different events in the past. But we made it through that. We kept going. But that removed about $22,000 in expenses from the budget, which kind of leveled us out a little bit. Last year, our congregational giving declined further, and we did not pay three-quarters of our pastor's pension payments in 2015. So there was a kind of a missing expense just to kind of make things go through. But we also depleted about $40,000 of what we had in savings. So things were, we were kind of doing some dramatic moves to stay afloat. We started to notice that our checking and savings balances were getting low, dangerously low, and so we cut our spending further in all areas. A lot of ministries were affected, and some staff hours in the final months of 2015. Earlier this year, giving continued to not meet our budgeted expectations, and so the only thing that seemed to be keeping us afloat was delayed timing of paying bills and things like that. In May, we drafted a budget. This is the emergency budget that I'm talking about, to be in effect by July 1st. So we're living in that now. That would not just postpone the hard decisions that we'd have to make, but we would be facing them, as uncomfortable as that was, and set our finances on a course toward some sort of recovery and financial stability to live within our means. Starting in July, we started to pay back some of the pension that we didn't pay in 2015. So we have a sort of debt that we're working toward paying off. Right now, both of our part-time staff members have been cut entirely from their salaries, yet are still volunteering. So thank you for your sacrifice, your increased sacrifice in that. And our full-time staff are reduced by 25% or 50% of their, you know, normal salaries, which if you kind of put your own numbers into that and think, like, could I, you know, would that be something we could take comfortably? Probably not. But the cuts we've made to our full-time staff save at a rate of about $20,000 and $10,000 annually. But because we started in July, it saves us $15,000 in actual to the end of the year budget. And the 100% cuts to our part-time staff save at a rate of $6,000 and $10,000 annually, which is an $8,000 savings for the 6 months, end of the year budget. So $23,000 in combined staff cuts balances an expected $23,000 shortfall. So what we are seeing kind of balances us out for the end of the year at this rate. And the recent increased generosity, we've noticed people have been giving more than they ever have, you know, per person, and it's just going up, you know, in the general sense. And our decreased spending in other areas, you know, a lot of the ministries are getting very creative to make things work, allows for the beginning of getting our checking balance up to where we can actually pay our bills on time and that sort of stuff. Which may leave us with about $3,500 at the end of the year to put back. So in maybe the next few years, we could be in a good situation to weather the ups and downs of a normal year. So our previously full-time staff are currently in an unsustainable work-life balance situation. It's really hard, as you could probably imagine, working other jobs and scrambling to make ends meet for their families. So when we're able, we do want to have our staff compensated appropriately. We want our staff members and leadership focused on the mission of Christ here in Pittsburgh and not just on the budget. It's been kind of a big distraction that we have to deal with, but here it is. With much prayer and godly wisdom and discernment, let's take whatever funds God blesses us with and use them to be a blessing to our community in an as effective a way as possible. So as a representative of the leadership team, I want to apologize to you, our members, for committing to an overly ambitious spending plan and for not responding quickly enough, I think, to lessen the difficulty of this and the hardships that we've, you know, caused our staff. I want to ask for your forgiveness on behalf of the team and all of us, and welcome your prayers, understanding, and continued support in this time of financial recovery. Please allow the leadership team to move forward in such a way that all members and guests can trust that their contributions are managed with the utmost prudence, attention, and transparency. So here's Cecilia, our treasurer, with the second quarter summarized report.
Thank you, Ezra. No one likes to talk about finances. We always think that, you know, we're going to be able to get through with what we have. And what we've done is we've made some very difficult decisions. Actually, what happened is in about April, we had a $6,000 deficit that happened. The giving was small. But I want to say that what's happened since then is that you have all come forward. We have been able to pull up the giving. And what's happened, in essence, is that we lost many people. With the transitions that we've had, we've lost people, and we've not been able to replace people in our giving. So it's not that you guys aren't doing a good job, and I want to thank you for that. It's that we have lost people who had been giving considerably, and we haven't been able to replace them in quantity. So one of the things that leadership is looking at is how do we bring more people into Edgewater? Because we really believe that God has put on this church a mission to help people in the church and in the community. So we really want to focus on that. We want to get through this part of the financial pieces. So anyway, what happened in the quarter from April to June, and I apologize, we made it late for some reason. we came in with the congregational giving about $46,852. Did I say that right? No, $46,852. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I always do that. So no wonder. But anyway, so with the expenses, we spent $48,876. So that our checking account was less by $2,000. Now, to tell you that we are now on an upswing, we have done well in July. I can't give you the quarter report because we're still in August. So for July, we're at $18,580 that we've been given. And so we've only spent, with the reductions that we've done, which have been in ministry and in staff, we spent only $16,576, which is an up increase in our checking to $2,000. So that helps, but we are catching up with a $6,000 deficit. So those are the things that, you know, it's not like sometimes at home you might, if you run short, you go to your credit card. We can't do that. And so we have to depend on the cash that comes in on a regular basis. We're hoping to get cash in, money's in, by $3,500 every week so that we can make it by the month. So anyway, that's how we're flowing. And hopefully, if we keep that going, we will be able to keep the revised budget that we have set. The revised budget is like $26,000 less than the budget that we approved of back in January. So that's how much we had to cut. And so it's not been an easy thing. We've been really sad about it. It's been very difficult. And we just really appreciate those that are in ministry who are doing ministry with very little. We really appreciate, and I want you guys to know that our staff really need to be loved, you know. We have Cindy, worship director, and Paola, the administrator, who have all taken a serious cut, and now with John also. So those are the things that are happening in our church. And one of the things that we want to do is, if you have questions about this, I didn't put a slide up, so I'm sorry about that, but if you have questions about this, please come and talk to me about it. I can show you the reports that we're working on. I can show you where we're wanting to go. But our focus on all of this is that we want to focus on what Jesus is doing here. He is changing our lives in many ways. And even this is part of what we need to go through in order to be stronger as a church. I really believe that. So relationships are becoming stronger. We're learning to live with less, which is sometimes a hard thing to do. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I think there are many of us who are doing everything that we can in so many ways, and I appreciate that. So let me just pray real quickly, and then we're going to go on with the sermon. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this church that you have given us so much hope, that there are so many things happening here that are good. We thank you for the goodness. We thank you for the love. And we thank you for the provisions that you are continuing to give us. Lord, help us to learn to be the stewards that you are teaching us to be. Help us to live through this next season of our church life in goodness and in grace and in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ezra and Cecilia. So I think I'm going to go off script a little bit. Is that okay? That makes you guys a little bit nervous, maybe. But just getting the sense of what's going on in the room. The way that I have learned to roll in life is just to see what's happening in the room and see where people are at and get a feel where people are at. So I want to talk with you for a few minutes. Not at you, but with you, and see where you're at and share some things on my heart that I want to give to you as a gift of trust. And I woke up this morning and I had three different sermons going through my head. Do I pick one of those three? I've not chosen any of those three. That's why I say I'm going to go off script a little bit. But there's a passage in the book of Genesis, which is when you open the scriptures, it's to the left, right? And it's the first one. And in the first chapter of the creation poem, what is God doing? Do you remember? In verse 2, what is God doing? What does it say? Anyone remember? He's hovering. Yes. So right out of the gate, the story that we're given is we see this God, the creator, hovering over the face of the waters, or some of your texts will say over the face of the deep. And the deep and the waters that we've talked about represents all that is chaotic, without form. And life is chaotic, wouldn't you agree? There's a lot of chaos in the world. There's a lot of things that don't make sense. And there's lots of disappointment. And there's I've lived for 47 years. I've been disappointed a few times along the way. And it's how you respond to the disappointment that really helps you move forward. Because many times what can happen is when we hit disappointment or we hit a barrier is we tend to avoid it, hope that it goes away, sweep it under the rug, pretend that it's not there. And does that work? Absolutely not. Because what does it do? It festers. Thank you, Ray. I love that word. It festers. It remains. It causes all kinds of trouble and heartache, even health issues. All kinds of things come up when you do not face the stuff that's in front of you. So when life presents opportunities or barriers, as I call them, that's a great gift because what it does is it invites you to face it and move through it. Now, we understand that. It's the how that we have a difficult thing doing. Like, how do we move through this and how are we going to get through this? And when life throws a curve at you, I don't know if you've played baseball, but when you face a pitcher that really knows how to throw a good curveball, what does your coach tell you? You remember? What? Hang in there. Right. Stay in the box. Stay in the box because this thing's coming on a big curve. You just got to stay there and you just hope and pray that that curve actually works. Because if you've ever been hit by a baseball, it doesn't feel so good, does it? And I remember as a kid, and I was facing this pitcher who threw somewhere in the 80s. Okay, so I'm 16 years old, and this guy, he's hurling the ball 80 miles an hour. Now, 16-year-old kids, when they can throw a ball 80 miles an hour, it doesn't always go straight. That's the thing. They've got the girth, but they don't have a lot of, like, control. And so you're sitting there going, I just hope and pray that this kid gets it down the middle. And he had a vicious curveball, and I remember my coach saying, just stay in the box. And I didn't, because all my instincts were telling me, that guy's an idiot. You do not stay in the box. So I would always duck out, and then you just look like a fool, right? I have no idea where this story is going, but it just popped in my head, so I'm rolling with it. But I remember at times when I would stay in the box and learning how to read those kinds of pitches on the spin of the ball. You had to watch it come off of his fingers. You had to watch it because you're like, I'm gonna learn how to stay here and face this. And throughout life, all kinds of curves and sliders and fastballs and high and inside have come at me. And it's learning, like, how do I stay in this so that whatever it is that it's trying to teach me, I'm going to stay and I'm going to remain and I'm going to be steadfast and trust that God's got this. So somehow in life, you either learn those things or you just go backwards. And what we want to do is we want to continue going forward, and we want to learn how to face those disappointments. So in the beginning of Genesis, we see God hovering over the face of the chaos. And what is the first thing that God does? What does he do? He goes towards it. And I love that image. God does not run from chaos. God does not remove himself from chaos. He goes into it. And what does he do? He creates goodness. A lot of you guys are in chaos right now. I know some of your stories, and I've heard you, and I've sat with you, and I've listened to you talk about where you're at in life, and some of you are facing some chaos. And I want to remind you that the story tells us in the beginning, God comes into the chaos, doesn't necessarily fix it, which we hate, but he's with us in it, helping us to move through it. And then what I've discovered is that throughout my life, as I've stepped into the chaos and have chosen to face it and learn, and God is with me, is that God sends me these crazy things called people. And these people have all kinds of things to say, but once in a while, you get a person who really knows what they're doing in life and knows how to help you move through that stuff. And God has granted that in my own life, where if I'm paying attention, he's given me these incredible gifts called people, because many times God shows up and he ends up looking a lot like you. And he speaks through people, and he leads us through the chaos. And in Genesis, we see God coming into the chaos, and every time he creates something, what does he call it? Good. This is good. This is good. Yes, I like what I've done here. This is nice. This is good. This is good. And then he creates humanity, man, and he says, this is good, kind of. And then he creates woman, and then he says, now we're getting somewhere. Right, ladies? Now we're really getting somewhere. And he creates woman and calls her, whoa, man. And then she is brought into the world, and all of the men in the room rejoice because women are one of the greatest gifts that God has ever made. Right? Yes. We love women. And women are a gift because they're also a representation of God. They are created in the image of God. So when we talk about the image of God being male dominant, let's not forget that women were also created in the image of God. And that God that we serve is both male and female. And that somehow this mysterious God that we serve is able to hold that tension really well and that balance really well, to have both of those characteristics, because we're all a reflection of that. And that's where we see God is in people. So as God unravels and creates, the undergirding truth of all of it is goodness. It's all good, the whole thing. So the scriptures begin with goodness. And then later on in the story of God's bigger story, he brings in this character called Jesus, who's like the full presence of God. Jesus comes onto the scene, and what does Jesus show us? This is what God is like. He's giving us like the full image of God. And one of the first things that Jesus does is he goes and he gets baptized. It's recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew. He goes to the, is it Matthew or Mark? It's, maybe it's both. I have a master's degree in theology, if you aren't aware of this. It's quite a task. but there's a moment where Jesus is baptized, and he comes up out of the what? The water. So he goes into the chaos and then comes out of the chaos. And what is the first thing that God says about Jesus? Yeah, this is my son, and with him I am well pleased. Jesus hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't started his ministry. He hasn't launched anything. So Jesus' life begins with a declaration, this is my son, and with him, I am well pleased. Now, when I rolled into Edgewater 18 months ago, one of the first things I reminded you about is that this is my son, and with you, I am well pleased. That's the declaration that God puts on you. Even before you utter a word or take a step or mess up, he utters this word on you. And then I said, ladies, this also includes you, that this is my daughter, and with you, I am well pleased. The voice that we all want, that we all crave, that we're all chasing after, this affirmation, this goodness, that we're all seeking. We want to know, am I okay? And I want you to know that that divine hum that goes throughout the entire universe says, this is good, and you, my son and my daughter, are good, and I am well pleased with you. Even when you make a mess of things, I'm with you and I love you and I'm with you. And we're gonna keep moving forward. And one of the things that I love about the biblical narrative is that we see God in the beginning and we see Jesus who comes along, and what does Jesus say? I hold all things together. I got it all, the whole thing, the whole system. He says, I hold all things together. That means your life. That means your chaos. That means the stuff that you're walking through right now and we as a church are walking through. He's got it. And I believe that. I really honestly believe that. I'm not just saying that because I'm up front and I'm a pastor and I'm supposed to say that. I believe it more than ever now. And part of that is because of hardship. Part of that is because of the difficulties that we've had to walk through in life. And I've seen God's faithfulness time and time again. And I'll tell you this, there have been seasons in my life where I thought God went rogue and where he went silent on me. And I'm turning like, what's up? Where are you at? What's going on? Why aren't you talking? Did you go silent all of a sudden? Where are you? And there's been moments where I've been really angry and I've cursed and I've done all kinds of things and I've gotten real upset. But as I look back at the trajectory of my own story, he was right there all along in the chaos with goodness, the undergirding theme of it all. And then at the end, Christ says, I got this. He's holding all things together. So, Edgewater, now we're at a place where we're going, uh-oh. And who likes to have a finance meeting in the middle of a service? That's like, great. That's the best Sunday to be at, right? Okay, follow that. Good, I got this. So we got this thing, and what happened is that we as a staff had to go, okay, this is where we're at. These are the choices that were made. Now what? And that's the big question in life, right? Is the now what? And it's not my favorite question, but it's a necessary question, and it's a good question. Now what am I going to do? How am I going to respond to this? And so what I did at first is I panicked like crazy, because that's what you do when you lose part of your income. You freak out, right? You panic. And so I panicked, and then quickly I got my head screwed on correctly, and I'm like, okay, well, panic ain't going to help me for very long, so I got to figure something out. And I began to move out into the world, because there's like two directions to go in life. Either you're moving forward or you're going backwards. And I just want to keep moving forward because God is out ahead of us, leading us and directing us. So I just began to step and process and go on this journey of what do you have next for the Woolner family. So I went out looking for work. And as many of you know, I've been doing this gig for 25 years. And like I said, I have a master's degree in theology. I love saying that because it really doesn't mean a whole lot to me, but it's just fun to say. But I have this thing, and I've got 25 years of experience in ministry, and I've been doing this for a long time, and this is what I do. I do ministry. I work for the church. I love the church. As crazy as she is, I love her. She's good. It's a good gift to the world, and I want to be a part of it, and I want to serve. And I want to be able to be in a position where I can take care of my family and provide, because that's my first priority, is can I take care of my family and my wife? And I still got this kid at home. She's 17. And for some reason, she's like sticking around. And she wants to be with us, and I'm excited about that. My son, he bolted. So I got one left, and hopefully my son will provide an heir at some point. But so I have this family, and we stepped out. We're looking for work. And lo and behold, of all things, there's a church here locally that was looking for a worship leader and a pastor of formation. And I read the job description, and it was describing me to a T. Isn't that weird? I read it, and I was like, "It's at the bottom it should have said, this is John Woolner." And I'm like, weird. So I stepped into the process, and I thought, there is no way that they're going to hire me. Because you think that about yourself many times. You're like, well, I'll throw this in. I don't know if they're going to hire me. Well, we went through this dance for the last couple of months, and they have hired me. They want me to come, which is great. It's really good news for us, but it's bittersweet because it's super sad for what's going on here. Now, I don't know what God's doing. I'm not even going to pretend to like throw something out there that's going to make it sound good, because I don't know, but I trust him. I do trust him, and I trust in Christ, and I trust that Christ holds all things together. I trust that he's good, even in this. Are you with me? Right? He's got this. So, my last Sunday at Edgewater is going to be September the 18th. That means I have about a month left to ride this story out with you, and then we're going to see where it takes us. Now, interestingly enough, September 18th is my birthday, and we can choose to tell ourselves particular stories about this whole process, or we can choose to lean into God's bigger story. What is God doing? We can look at this as this is a sending time for Edgewater, that we're sending John and his family into a new work here in the East Bay to do something that I love to do. I love leading people in worship. It is one of my greatest passions. I still get to teach. I still get to lead. I still get to be with people. I'm so excited about that part of it. But the other side of that is that I fell in love with you, and I couldn't stop my heart from doing that. And I didn't want to stop my heart from doing that. But in this last year and a half, I have fallen in love with you. And I really, really like you. And I've enjoyed my time here immensely. And I love teaching here. And I love what God's doing here. So this last month for me has been grueling and difficult. It has been a very painful month for me, because I've had to hold some of this secretly, and I don't like keeping that to myself. And I've processed it with very few of you, but I've had to hold on to that. So there's a sense of sharing that, and now that it's out in the open, it's like a big relief, but I am sad. I'm sad. I'm sad because I'm going to miss this, and I'm going to miss being a part of this. You are some of the greatest people that I have ever met in my life, and I mean that with all my heart. I do. You are the embodiment of grace and peace to me. You have extended such kindness to me, and the things that you have said and have done and have practiced when no one else sees it has absolutely blown me away. We had to move to kind of help with the financial stuff, and man, I'll tell you what, there are some people in this congregation that helped me build a shed. I never thought that that would happen. But they rolled in and they helped me build a shed in my backyard so I could store some things. And just seeing that was the image of God to me. It was God showing up in very practical and helpful ways. And then seeing your generosity and sharing meals with you and listening to you in it and being able to love your children and sitting with you in your pain has been my absolute privilege and honor in the last 18 months. I have grown immensely in this 18 months that I've been here. I have grown, and I have loved serving this place. But that season is coming to a close on the 18th of September. So I'm going to continue on until the 18th of September. I'm going to be present with you. I'm going to continue to love you. And beyond that, I'm still going to be around the area. The church that we're going to is a church called Open Door East Bay. They are a different breed, I'll tell you that. And they are a lovely place filled with good people like Edgewater who are serious about following Jesus for the good of the world. So the mission continues. We step into what God is already doing. And we're excited to see where God takes us next. I'm excited to see this story where God takes you next as a people. And I want you to know that I'm here for the next month, and if you want to get together with me and you want to talk and you want to process, I'm here. I'm yours, okay? You got that? Good. So, with that said, let me pray for us, and then I'm going to stick around afterwards. We had thought we would close with a song. I thought, you know what? Let's just lay this out, and then if you want to come talk with me, please come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you, okay? I'm here. And let's see where this takes us. God, you are good, and that we believe and we know. And each person here matters because they've been created in your image. And each person here is significant because they've been created in your image. And we trust that you have all things in your hands, no matter what comes, or disappointments that come our way. God, you've got us. You've got our children. You've got our families. You've got our lives. You've got our futures. You have it all in your hands, and we trust you with all of it. And we lean into that, and we don't know what's next, but we know you got this. And so we say at Edgewater, let's do this. Let's do what's next. Let's lean into the heart of God and see where that takes us. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, may the Lord God bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Grace and peace be with you. What do you got, Cecilia? Oh, yeah. Can we do that? You know what? Brittany, come on, girl. You travel all the way from Stockton. God bless you. We're going to take our offering this morning, and I think, yeah, let's sing together, and then we'll roll out.
Okay. I'll go ahead and pray for the offering real quick. Dear Lord, thank you for the gifts that we are about to give, Lord. Please bless it to be used for your glory and bless this church in what they're about to do next. And I pray all this in your name. Amen.
All right. Let's walk with Jesus this week, okay? Let's do this. Grace and peace be with you once again. Thank you.